Let us turn in our Bibles again to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and beginning with verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In these verses, James warns believers. He's still writing to brethren about two evils that we are all too often guilty of. The first evil is that of speaking evil of another brother. And James tells us that the law forbids this. I believe he has reference to Leviticus 19 and verse 16, where we read, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. And James tells us that if we judge or speak evil of another person, then we become judges and not obedient to the law. We judge another. We judge that even though the law commands us not to speak evil of a brother, we judge that we have that right. And maybe what we speak about, we judge is worse than breaking the law of speaking evil of him. But in either case, or either case, we become guilty and we become judges of the law. There's one lawgiver, and that's God. And we should remember this, as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 14, when he said, let us not therefore judge one another, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And in that passage there in Romans 14, he also tells us this, that every child of God is a servant of God. That's what all of us are. If we know Christ as our Lord and Savior today, we are servants of God. And Paul tells us that God is able to make his servant stand. He is our master. Now, the second evil that James speaks about in this passage is that of making plans without God. Making plans without God. He's certainly not speaking about working and having commerce or anything like that. But he is speaking against doing these things without considering God. It is leaving God out of our lives, as though we were the masters of our lives, when we must be aware that in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Now, having mentioned what the passage speaks to us about, these two evils, I don't want to lose the opportunity to speak to us on the question that James asked all of us in verse 14, for what is your life? For what is your life? We all joke, I know, about growing old, and many people even joke about death. And I'm afraid that the reason that we joke sometimes about death is that we are afraid to face reality. Men are more prone than women to believe that if they just ignore something, it will go away. But there are truths about our life that are not going to go away. And it should be a mark of wisdom on the part of all of God's children and all people in general that we consider what stares us in the face, and that is the sharpness of life. I remember in the 1950s, that's way back in the old days, there used to be a television program called This Is Your Life. This Is Your Life. And they would take a well-known person, and in 30 minutes, I believe it was, they would highlight several events in this person's life. And then at the end of the program, they usually would bring out someone that this man had known years before, a woman had known years before, and it would be very emotional. But think about that. I believe the program was 30 minutes. It may have been an hour long. But all of the life of that person was condensed down into a program of just a few minutes at the most. Now, James, he doesn't say here to a well-known person, this is your life, but he asks all men to consider this question, or he commands all men, I should say, to consider this question, all men, young and old, rich and poor, famous and unknown, educated and uneducated, he asks all of us to consider this one question, for what is your life? What is your life? Now, I want to answer that. Where would we go to find the answer to that question? Should we check Wikipedia? I'm afraid if you went there, you would not find the answer. If you go to the philosophers, you will not find the answer. There's only one place we should turn to answer this question, for what is your life? We should turn to the word of He who is the creator and the giver and the sustainer of all life. That is God. Of mineral life, of plant life, of human life, God, He is the creator of all life. And if we would answer this question today, we must turn to the Word of God. And I trust every person here, every one of us will hear this question and consider what the Word of God teaches us and tells us for what is your life. Four things I would bring to us. Four truths from the Word of God. What is your life? First, God's Word tells us that our life passes quickly. Now that's the emphasis that James places here when he asks this question and then he answers it. For what is your life? In verse 14. And then he says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. This morning, I come over here early, and at 7 a.m. this morning when I left my house, there was a fog. I drove through a fog. It wasn't a dense fog, a heavy fog, but yet there was a fog. And I'm sure when I go home this afternoon after this service, the fog will be gone. And that's what James compares your life to. It's like a vapor. You go out on the lake early in the morning and you see there's a mist on the lake. But by noon, it's gone. That's your life. That's your life. That's my life. That's the life of every person in this world. Now, God, in the Word of God, He uses a number of examples to show us how quickly our life passes. In the book of Job, there are several of these. I won't ask you to turn, but in Job chapter 9, we find that our life is swifter than the post. Now, what does that mean, swifter than a post? Well, the post was a messenger, and we like to think of the Pony Express. It was something like that, not quite the same, but a message was delivered by post, that is, by a fast horse or however they moved, and they would change horses and ride on and change horses and ride on. That was the fastest way of communication in that day. Now, today, I suppose we would say it is like an email. No, let's go faster. It's like a text. That's what our life is. It's like a text. It quickly passes away. And then also Job tells us it's like a ship. Now, in his day, of course, the ships, they were moved by the winds. And the wind would catch the sails and away it would go. I don't know if you've ever seen a ship on the horizon, but a ship doesn't move all that fast when you are on the ship. But I tell you, if you watch it cross over the horizon, it goes very fast, quickly. And then a few chapters before that, we find that our life is like a weaver's shuttle. Have you ever seen a weaver? How he's weaving on the shuttle, and it's a mechanical thing. The ones I've seen are made out of wood, but the man who weaves, he's very fast. It's fast how he moves that shuttle. You very seldom even see it. It's so fast. And then he tells us that it's like an eagle. Our life. This is your life. Now hear me now. Don't go to sleep. I'm speaking to all of us here today. What is your life? It's like an eagle, we are told. Not an eagle that's riding the air currents. No, no. It's like an eagle that has a prey, sees its prey on the ground, and how quickly it dives and catches that prey. That's your life. That's what the Scripture says. And even more than that, it is like the wind. The wind. It just comes up and it's gone. Look with me in Psalm, if you want to turn to Psalm 103. Because two times in the Scripture, our life is compared as here in this place. Psalm 103, in verses 15 and 16. As for man, Psalm 103, verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. That's your life. It's like the grass. It grows up. I don't know about you men, but I have to cut my grass once a week normally. Once every week it has to be cut. It grows up. And it's cut and it's gone. That's our life, the psalmist tells us. And notice he says, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You live, you're alive today, and whatever, however long God allows you to live, when you die, your children, if you have children, they will remember you. Your grandchildren, if you, God blesses you, if you have grandchildren, they will remember you. And maybe some, even your great-grandchildren. But it won't take long before you're forgotten. The place where you have lived, your house, your job, you think, they can't do without me. Yes, they can. And yes, they will. The place thereof knoweth it no more. Now here in the psalm, our life is compared to the grass. And I pointed this out to us because also in 1 Peter chapter 1, the apostle tells us the same thing. But he contrasts our life with the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. He said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away.
But,
and here's the contrast,
but
the word of God, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Long after I'm gone and long after you're gone, this word is going to continue. This is God's word, and God is eternal. And God's word, the scripture says, is settled forever in heaven. It's not going to be replaced. Voltaire, one of the famous, if you could call a man famous, who was an atheist, infamous man, you know, he predicted that in a certain year, certain time frame, that the Bible would be a forgotten book. It wasn't many years after his death that his house was actually being used to store Bibles in. The Word of God. Your life, my life, is like the grass and like the flower thereof. It flourisheth, it cometh up in the morning, it's cut down. But the Word of God abideth forever. The second thing, what is our life? It passes quickly. Secondly, what is our life? God's Word tells us that our life is uncertain. Now, I realize it's not uncertain with God. The days, the hours, the time is settled. On God's calendar, the time that you are going to leave this world is already marked. But you don't know it, and I don't know it. And so that's what I'm saying. What is our life? Our life in this world is very uncertain. The scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You make your plans, some of you. You've got your life planned out before you, and you don't consider God. You don't think, and you don't say, God willing. You know, the Latin form of that is Deo Violente, DV. Sometimes you'll see that written, DV. What does that mean? God willing. God willing. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. A young lady in the school where Andrea works, I believe she was 17 or 18 years of age, just 2 weeks ago on her prom night, left this world. She was killed in a car accident. Maybe you heard last Friday evening, a young boy, 18 years old, with his mother and father, his life was snuffed out along with theirs. Very close to this building. Life is uncertain for all of us. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Solomon, the wise man in the book of Ecclesiastes, he speaks of our life or his life like a shadow. A shadow. Now, a shadow, you know, has no substance, no reality, uncertain. We imagine, all of us are guilty of this, we imagine that our lives are like a building, strong, unmovable, stable, but not so. In Isaiah 38 in verse 11, we read, mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. A tent that a shepherd would camp out in overnight as he watched his flock. A tent may be easily taken down. The wind, a strong wind, may blow it over. Now, God's children, it's true, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, but in this world. Our life is like a tent, like a shepherd's tent. Now, the Lord Jesus gave an example, if you look to Luke chapter 12, of a man who was guilty of not considering that his life was uncertain. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Your life doesn't consist in houses and lands and bank accounts and fame and all of the things that men usually pursue. Our Lord said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, that's his mistake right there. He did not consider God. He thought within himself as though he were God, as though he were in control, and as though he would determine the length of his days. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, thou fool. What is your life? Here's a man he did not consider. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What is your life? It passes quickly. What is your life? It is uncertain. Those of you here today who are teenagers and young adults, you think it will take you forever to reach 50 years of age. Ask someone here who is 50. How quickly the years have passed by. Our perception of time is such that it depends upon which way we are looking. If time seems long or short, if we are looking to the future today, if we are looking to the future, say 10 years, that seems like a long time. But let me tell you something. If you're looking in the past, 10 years doesn't seem that long. And it just seems, my friends, and take it from me, that the older we get, the faster the years pass by. Now, I know time's the same, 60 seconds in a minute, so forth. But my, it just seems like the years. When I can remember when I was in school about this time of year. It was so hot. We didn't have air conditioning back in the old days. It wouldn't have mattered. Oh, I just couldn't wait. I think we got out of school June the 1st or something like that. I just couldn't. It seemed like those last 2 weeks, it took forever. Forever for school to be out. But now, years go by so quickly. And that's true of all of us. Here's the third thing. What is your life? God's Word tells us that our life will have an end. It will have an end. It is appointed unto men once to die. Read years ago about a particular king of France. And as he was a king, he had the right to tell people what to do and what not to do. And one thing he commanded was the word death never, never to be pronounced in my hearing. He never wanted to hear the word death. And I assume he got his way. But that did not stop death from coming. I heard a man one time say, well, you know, I've always heard when you get everything done, you know. He said, that's when you're going to die. He said, I'm making sure I've got a lot of projects that are not finished. But you know what? He died. Recently, I heard someone say, people I know, soon as they retire, they die. I'm not going to retire. Well, that may be good advice, but you will die. The time is appointed unto all of us. There's no man, the scripture says, there's no man that hath the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. There is no discharge in that war. I watched a person die. I've watched two people die. And both, it seemed to me, you could almost see the life going out of them. Their chest was heaving, and then their breathing was almost in their throat. And before long, it was gone. And there was one last breath. Death. There's no discharge in that war. Now, here's the fourth thing I wanted to bring to us. What does God's Word tell us about eternal life? Eternal life. Well, look with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm so thankful today that I have this last part of the message, aren't you? I mean, what an awful place it would be to be somewhere where we don't have, where we didn't have God's Word. And we live and we know that death is coming, but we don't have any hope. We don't have any reason to have a hope, I should say, because all men have some hope. It may be like the spider's web. That's how light and weak it is. The hypocrite has a hope, but thank God for a good hope. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12. Now I said, where will we find the answer to this this question, for what is your life? We look in the Word of God, and where will we find the answer to the question, what is eternal life? What is eternal life? Well, this is the record. And this is the record. This is God's Word. You don't have to look anywhere else. You don't have to go anywhere else. This is the record. And this is God's record. God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now let me bring three things out to us from that passage. Number one, eternal life is God's gift to give. Learn that. Learn that. Eternal life is God's gift to give. Eternal life is not yours to earn, and it's not yours to deserve, and it's not yours to merit. Eternal life is God's gift to give. The sooner a person realizes that, he cannot merit, he cannot deserve eternal life, then that person will be ready to hear that God is a God of grace. In Romans chapter 5, Paul pictures death and grace as though they were two monarchs, two rulers. And he tells us, sin hath reigned unto death. Sin reigns. No one can doubt that sin reigns unto death, because everyone that we've known and everyone that we know, we recognize, and ourselves included, will die. Sin reigns unto death. But grace, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Grace also reigns, but it reigns through Jesus Christ. Never think of grace, God's saving grace, apart from Jesus Christ. Never think of being right with God, saved, accepted, a child of God, apart from Jesus Christ. Because, yes, grace reigns, but it reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. John chapter 10. Let me read this to you. John chapter 10. our Lord told some people one day, "You believe not because you are not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now notice, "and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So in this passage here in 1 John, number one, eternal life is God's gift to give. Number two, eternal life is in God's Son. He that hath the Son hath life. We should not think of eternal life as unending life. I would venture to say that's what most people have in their mind when they hear of eternal life. They just think, well, that means life shall never end. Well, that's true. But listen, eternal life is so much more than unending life. Eternal life is to know God. Can you imagine that? To know God and to enjoy God. Our Lord said that in His prayer. "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." The blessedness. And that's the reason right now, today, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have eternal life if we have the Son. You say, "Well, I thought eternal life would come when we die." No, we'll just stay. We'll just change positions. We'll change locations. But my friends, we will have eternal life when we leave this world, or we will never have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. And number three, eternal life is received in Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. Remember the scripture says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." What is your life? Well, I know I speak for every child of God here today. What is my life? "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Maybe you're here today and you will be caused by God the Holy Spirit to consider, what is your life? And you'll get along with God and ask God to have mercy on you, to save you for Christ's sake. Look to Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. But I encourage all of us not to think of life lightly. We all live in uncertainty every day that God gives us. Some of you are here this morning are young and you think you have your whole life before you. And I trust that you do. But you may not. Some of you are young parents here today. And you think you'll see your children in college and graduate. You may not. But let me assure you of this. The most important thing to you is to know Christ.
Amen.
Well, I know there are other things important. Other things call for your attention, no doubt about it. But this is the most important of all. To know Christ and be found in Him. Not having your own righteousness, that which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Jesus Christ. I pray the Lord would bless this word to all of us here today. Now, if you will, let's turn to hymn number 4.